mandolinist Avi Avital has been leaving us a trail of breadcrumbs through the summer with the release of three digital EPs. Now in August of 2025, culminating in a full album with the Between Worlds ensemble pulling together some highlights from those releases, along with several brand new tracks. If you search Song of the Birds on Deutsche Grammophon, you'll find the one we're talking about. I'm just so tickled we found a window of time to connect with you on this, so thank you, Avi, for joining us for a classical conversation.
Thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure.
I was really struck by one of your comments, actually from the press release on Song of the Birds, which you described as feeling like a calling, feeling like your whole musical life has been leading up to this. I mean, wow, that really gives some perspective on it about what it means to you and what's that journey been like?
Wow. So there are two aspects to it. One is personal and one is maybe more reflective of the time we live in. The more personal has to do with my upbringing and my musical connection. I mean, this project is all about classical music and traditional music and folklore music, the two ends and everything that lays between those two ends and every form of integration between those two broad genres of music. I grew up listening to a lot of different genres of music. Although I had teachers teaching me classical music, none of my teachers ever told me this is, you have to stick with that genre or that genre. And growing up in a very, in a society that celebrates diversity and nuances of culture, and also the instrument that I'm playing, the mandolin itself kind of lends itself to, it is a classical, the mandolin is a classical Italian 18th century instrument, but of course we hear it in all kinds of folk traditions, in North America, the bluegrass, also Brazilian choro and Irish music, and a broader family of all the plucked strings instruments that reflect cultures, the sounds of a culture in the world. So it's a, I don't know if I chose the mandolin because I was that type of person or I became that type of artist because I played the mandolin. Not sure. Either ways, this is very much, you know, in the center of this project. And the other aspect to it is a little bit the times that we're living. It's very confusing in one hand to know, to realize we live in a, you know, the world is becoming smaller and we need to share values with larger amount of people. We need to agree and to live in the same world with different people that come from different places. And that's great. On the other hand, we don't want to lose the nuances, the richness, the dialects, the music, the musical nuances, the richness of each culture. So I first experienced it living in Italy and discovering really the regional richness of every village having its own dialect and its own, you know, the pasta recipe and a little bit mentality. And this is something to celebrate, but with a slippery slope there, because we don't want this diversity to become a separator factor. We don't want, of course, people to say, okay, we speak a different language or a different dialect. We're not part of your group. But also not to lose this beautiful heritage of cultures that has been evolved for that many generations.
You mentioned your time in Italy, and that's the name of one of the digital EPs that came out earlier. We also have Iberia and the Black Sea, also places you've been?
Yes, in fact. This project started as a concert season. Between Worlds Ensemble was founded by myself about 2 years ago only, with a quest to create a season of three different programs spread in the season, all of them with the same concept. So concentrate taking a geographical area and making a project with classical music inspired by its folklore and also the folklore music that comes from there, collaborating with guest artists that really represent the folklore for them. So I had to choose three regions. And the first that came in my mind was Iberia, just because it has the most examples of classical pieces or concert pieces that were composed by composers like Manuel de Falla or Albéniz, Granados, that are pieces for piano or piano and mezzo-soprano, very classical formations, but very much inspired by Spanish folklore. So the first idea that I had was, okay, we lose the mezzo-soprano, we replace her by a flamenco singer that would sing the falla, we lose the piano, and we put a lot of percussions and the mandolin and the flute and the harp and all these colors and the flamenco guitar, of course, and all these colors that have much more to do with the folklore Spanish sound than a piano. With all due respect, yes? And then Italy came in second, and that's just because it was my home. It's still, I consider it my second home. For 8 years of my life, it's where I formed as an adult, as a musician, as an artist. It's where I fell in love with these different kinds of music and little regional cultures, and especially the south of Italy. So we call it Italy, but it's really the south of Italy, and especially Apulia region, which is, if Italy is the boot, it's the heel. That's the Apulia region. And last came the Black Sea. I mean, I love Balkan music. One of the genres of music that I play most, if not classical, is Balkan music. So one side of the Black Sea is Balkan, but also Middle Eastern music. So Turkish music with the piece by Faisal Say, some pieces by Bartok based on Bulgarian rhythms, and especially the collaboration with the Georgian choir that brings different vocal traditions from Georgia. I met them in Tbilisi about 15 years ago. I saw them in a concert. I was absolutely blown away and planted a seed to work with them at some point. So that's the triptych that then became an album. We, after touring those three programs, we decided to record, you know, the best 20 minutes of each program. And this is now the album that you can listen to.
Let's talk about the title track, Song of the Birds, and I can't help but think of Pablo Casals' solo cello version, but tell me about this take.
Exactly that. And this is an incredible example of how we, the concert goers, know a Catalan Christmas traditional song because of Pablo Casals. It's kind of bringing a Catalan song from his tradition and making it famous in concert halls throughout the world. It's very much a symbol in this album, not only because of bringing something from his own tradition into the concert hall, but because of the meaning that this song had to himself. Pablo Casals from Catalonia had to live in exile for most of his adult life under the Franco regime. And from the moment he was in exile, he made it a point to end each one of his concerts as an encore with the song of the birds, with the Christmas Catalan song from his homeland. It made me reflect a lot about cultural identity and political identity and national identity and everything that comes in the mixture when you're an artist and you're at the end doing something that is very universal, and you hope that you share things that, even though they are very personal and connected to your culture, at the end you share and you celebrate your diversity with the rest of the world. And also because we titled it the album, because we felt we are the birds here, actually. We travel the world, we roam the world singing our song and also collecting songs from everywhere we go. Thank you.
I noticed too, your recording has actual bird song that comes in, so it takes us out into the outdoors too.
Yes, I love this arrangement. It's by David Bruce, and a little bit the narrative of the arrangement is based on the fact that in our collective memory, especially in the classical concert context, it's not longer a Christmas carol, it's Pablo Casals longing for his home. But there's also the birds, which gives a naturistic element also in the original Christmas song. It's the nativity scene as told to the kids by the birds, the different birds that flying above it. So every verse is spoken by different birds, and it was a way to teach the kids about the different kinds of birds. In this arrangement, the melody comes in very nostalgic. Something is very kind of nostalgic. I want to say bitter, but in a good way. And in the second verse, you start to have these urban sounds taking over. At least in my imagination, I never spoke with this with David, but suddenly the drums and the strings kind of providing very industrial urban sounds. But at the end, the birds win. We all you hear at the end of the album, and also at the end of our contest, is how we end our concerts. It's just sounds of birds that we play with different musical instruments and whistles that imitate sounds of birds.
That's a really beautiful and meditative way to conclude the program, I think. Where can we find you next? It sounds like you're very busy touring.
We are I'm in a hotel in Bratislava. We're in the middle of our summer tour. Next concerts we're going to the BBC Proms and to Enescu Festival in Bucharest and to other summer festivals and autumn festivals. And we'll tour, and I really hope we'll bring this project also to North America very soon.
Avi Avital's album Song of the Birds is out this August of 2025. And thank you so much, Avi, not only for your comments, but just sharing this milestone with us.
Thank you very much.